9-2. Again, we thank everyone for being here this morning and appreciate the opportunity that I have to bring a message from God's Word to you. Appreciate the prayers on my behalf. And we're going to take a break this morning from the series that I've been working on, and that is the Sermon on the Mount. And we're going to talk about something else. We're going to talk about God the Father. We're going to talk about how using God as our example, as God our Heavenly Father, we can be good fathers. And I thought it very fitting because this is the day that our nation has set aside to honor our fathers. So what better father to honor than God the Father? And so we're going to do that this morning. We're going to look at God the Father, and we're going to look at how He provides for us. He takes care of us. He gives us the things that we need. He looks after us. He disciplines us. He gives us all those things that we need in order to be good children of His. And in turn, we can look at those things and we can be good fathers ourselves in doing that same very, very same thing. And the first thing that we need to realize about being a good father is that we need to follow that example, right? We need to follow that example. And we need to be good disciples of the Word of God and good disciples of Christ. Luke chapter 6, verse 46 says, "And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" Now this is Jesus talking here, and he's saying, how is it that you're calling me Lord and you don't do the things that I say? And we think about our children, and we tell them to do things too, don't we? We tell them what they should be doing, what they should not be doing, but sometimes they don't do that. They just don't. And we have to correct them. We have to discipline them. We have to do things. But we need to know what those things are that the Lord says that we should be and shouldn't be doing, those commandments that He has given us, so that we as fathers can know what we should be doing also. John chapter 14, verse 15 says, "If you love me, keep my commandments." And isn't that what we expect of our children? We want our children to love us, but we want them to keep our commandments. And we show our love to God by keeping the commandments of God, just like our children show us love by doing the things that we say, keeping our commandments. Being a disciple means quite a lot more than most people think. It involves putting God first in all things, doesn't it? And our children, in fact, are disciples of us as fathers. They look at us and they mock us. They do the things that we do. I see, you know, Jacob, you know, I see Lincoln doing things and trying to be just like Dad. I want to be just like Dad. And we need to realize that that gives us a great responsibility. That gives us great responsibility to be able to bring our children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. So we got to study the Scriptures and know what God's will is for us as fathers. And you know what? Sometimes we think things are very important, don't we? We think things are like work and making a living and providing those things that are necessary to live, which is very important. But a lot of times we put too much emphasis on those things and we spend all of our time there doing those things. And we neglect to be there for our kids. Sad to say that I spent a lot of time at work. My kids were growing up, and I didn't study with them the way that I ought to. And I think all of us, no matter how much you studied with your kids, no matter how much you were there for them, no matter how much that you tried to explain things to them according to God's Word, you always feel like you could have done more. You always feel like you could have done more. But God has instructed us as parents and as fathers to bring up our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And in order to do that, we have to be present. We have to be there for our kids. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4 says, "And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." Now, how are we going to do that if they never see us? If we're never there? We as fathers must be there for our families so that by using God's example on how good a good father is supposed to be there for his children, how does God do that for us? How is God there for you? Is God always there for you? Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5 says, "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have, for he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." God's always there for us, isn't he? He says he will never leave you. Do your children feel like that for you? Do your children always know that you're going to be there for them? That you're not going to forsake them, and no matter what happens, no matter how much you mess up, Matthew chapter 28, verse 20, "Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even into the end of the world. Amen." Jesus says he'd be with us always. Do your kids feel like that you will always be with them? God the Father has promised us that he will never leave us nor forsake us. Christ promised to always be with us. In Psalm chapter 139, he teaches us that there's no place that we can go. There's no place that we can hide. Psalm 139, verse 7 through 10 says, "Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me." How comforting is that? Do our kids feel like that about us? You know, I remember a saying that, you know, a parent sees everything. A father sees everything. They know everything that you do. They got eyes in the back of their head, it seems. That's the way our Father in heaven is, isn't it? Are we that way for our kids? The next thing that we need to realize is that we need to provide for our kids. We need to provide for our children. The scripture tells us that we are to be the provider for our families. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8 says, "But if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel." If we're not about providing the needs for the needs of our kids, the Bible tells us that we have denied the faith. We have not done what God has expected us to do. We have not fulfilled what God has expected us to do. And we look at God and we can see that how God provides for us. Think about all the blessings that you have in life. Think about all the things that God has provided for you, all these things that God has given us and provided for us. Don't we want to provide for our children also? Let's look at Matthew chapter 7, verse 11. I said we was going to take a break from Sermon on the Mount, but here we go, right? "If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him?" Scripture tells us that we have to be providers for our family. And God gives us all of those wonderful things that we need. God has blessed us with far more than the things that we need. Matthew chapter 6, verse 31 through 32 says, "Therefore, take no thought, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed?' For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye need, that you have need of all these things." I look back on when I was growing up. I never had a care in the world. I didn't have to go to work. My dad did that. He went to work. He provided the things that I needed. You know what? I never worried about there being food on the table. I never worried. Not once did I ever worry about having a place to sleep. I didn't have a care in the world. And you know what? This verse tells us that our Heavenly Father does that for us, and that we should feel the same way towards Him. Do we do that for our kids? Do our kids feel that way about us? That we're going to take care of them no matter what the situation? That they're going to have the things that they need? We as fathers have a duty to be providers, both physically and spiritually. The spiritual things of most importance, actually, teaching them the things of the Word of God. Let's look at 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. "Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered." We need to be there for our wives and our kids, teaching them the things of God, honoring them in such a way that we want to give them the things, the knowledge of the things of God. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 through 10 says, "For by grace you are saved through faith, and not of yourselves, is the gift of God." It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Now, I looked at this and I thought to myself, how much better of a husband and how much better of a father would I be if I woke up every morning with my main goal being, what am I going to do to get my family to heaven? What more can I do? What more can I do that I can make my children my workmanship through the Word of God? That I can provide for them the things that they need so that they can go and do good works, so that they can be good Christian people, so that they could walk in those things. That's what God has done for me. That's what God has done for me. And that's what I need to do for my kids. God the Father has provided for me spiritually all those things which I need. And I need to pass those things on. John chapter 3, verse 16, "God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." What is it that you have in your life that you wouldn't give up for your kids? God gave us his Son. He gave us all. Are you willing to give up everything for your kids so that they might have life? So that they can have everlasting life? That's what we're called to do. That's what we're asked to do as fathers, as parents. To provide. He gave us his son so that we might not perish, but so that we could have life. And that leads us to the next point. We got to be protectors. Psalm chapter 84, verse 11 says, "For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk upright." He leads us. He shields us. He guides us. It says that he is the sun, allows us to see what's going on around us, the light that is around us. And he is our shield against those things that might come at us. And he gives grace and glory. Do we allow our kids to see the things that are going around the world, around about us, so they might see the things that are in this life, see the dangers of what's about to come at them, and then shield them when necessary from those things that might hurt them? That's what God does for us. And we need to do that for our kids, don't we? We need to be protectors, a shield. So in order for us to protect our family, we need to teach them and ensure that they know the Word of God. Teach them the things of God. Teach them to be disciples of Christ. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 5 says, "Every word of God is pure." Every word of God is pure. "He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him." Your kids look at you as a shield? Do they trust you with their life? That's the way we should feel for our Heavenly Father, right? We should trust him as our shield, our protector, and trust him. What did God do for us to teach us? Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4 says, "And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." It's very important that we do that. Matthew chapter 17, verse 5, "While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." So in order for us to know the will of God, for us to know the way that we should live, for us to have life, for us to have a protector, for us to have all of those things that we've talked about so far, and to teach us, what did he do? He gave us a teacher. He gave us a teacher. "This is my beloved Son. Listen to him. Listen to the things that he says. Listen to the things that he commands. Listen to the things that he's going to teach you so that you will know what is expected of you." And we need to do that for our kids too. We need to do that for our children so they know what's expected of them. A lot of times we put so much emphasis on the things that we want, don't we? And sometimes we have a hard time trying to come up with time, it seems. We just don't have the time. We're so busy in our lives. And we just don't have the time to sit our kids down and teach them the way that we ought to. God gave us a teacher, dedicated to teach us so that we might have life. so that we might obey the commandments of God and listen to Him. So we should in turn teach our children to also listen to Him. John 14, verse 21 says, "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him." Sometimes, pardon me. Sometimes I wonder just how well my kids know me. How well have I manifested myself to them? How well have I set them down and spent time with them and taught them? How well have I showed them that I love them? I know as a child, I tried so hard sometimes to please my parents. Felt like sometimes it was a losing battle. Felt like I was never pleased. They were never pleased with me. They was always getting on to me, and don't get me wrong, I deserved it a lot of times. Most of the time. But they taught me. And I've always wondered if I had done a better job than they had. Letting my kids know that I was proud of them and I love them. And I made myself available to them and manifest myself to them and taught them. It's very important that we do these things for our kids. So the next thing that we do to protect our family is that we discipline them. We discipline them. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 24 says, "He that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes." I got the betimes quite a bit. I already said that. How many times did I let things slide? How many times did I fail to show my kids that I loved them because I let things slide? It's important for us to discipline our kids. Revelation chapter 3, verse 19 says, "As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent." What a wonderful concept, isn't it? To be rebuked and chastened. No, it's not fun, is it? It's not fun at the time, but you learn a lesson. And we learn what we should and what we shouldn't do, and we can repent of those things and try to do better. And sometimes I wonder if the things that I let slide and not showing my kids that I love them, it didn't give them the opportunity to do better. I didn't give them the opportunity to repent. I didn't give them the opportunity to know that what they were doing was wrong. So a matter of protection, discipline is very important. Hebrews chapter 12. Verses 5 through 7. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? I said, discipline's not fun at the time, is it? Discipline's not ever fun at the time that you're receiving it. But just know that the Lord loves you. When those things are happening, and our children need to know that you love them when those things are happening. And I don't know how many times where, you know what, I was disciplining my kids, and you know what, I was doing it for me. I wasn't doing it for them. I was doing it because I wanted to feel better. And that's the wrong way to look at it, isn't it? Discipline for our kids should be so that every one of our children know that we love them and that we don't want them to act that way or do the things that they're doing or mess up the way that they're messing up. We want to give them the opportunity to repent of those things and do better. Because fathers, that's the way we deal with our kids. It's the way we should deal with our kids, just the way that God dealt with us. Giving us the opportunity to repent of those things that are wrong in our lives. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 8 through 11 says, but if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our own flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Says he does it for our own good, doesn't he? He does this for our profit. And so many times, like I said before, I've done this because I wanted to feel better. Because I was angry. And what does it say here? He says, you know, in verse number 9, that our fathers in the flesh, which corrected us, you know, we gave them reverence. But they did it after their own pleasure. I did it after my own pleasure. But God does it because he wants us to profit from it. He wants us to profit from it. And in verse number 11, he does it simply because it works. It works. It yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness. He wouldn't do it if it didn't work. When we teach our children, we tell them what they should and they shouldn't do. And when we discipline them, it lets them know that they messed up. It gives them the opportunity to repent. It gives them the chance to improve. It gives them the chance to correct their mistakes. And it lets them know that I care. And it works. It works. It yields fruit. It teaches them to do good, and in doing good, it protects them from doing evil. Let me have one last verse this morning. Ezekiel chapter 18, starting verse number 20. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. The son shall not bear the iniquity of the father, neither shall the father bear the iniquity of the son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him. But if the wicked will turn from all his sins that he hath committed, and keep all my statutes, and do that which is lawful and right, he shall surely live. He shall not die. All his transgressions that he hath committed, they shall not be mentioned unto him. In his righteousness that he hath done, he shall live. Have I any pleasure at all that do the wicked should die? Saith the Lord God, and not that he should return from his ways and live? God has given us an opportunity to turn from our ways. He has provided us his word so that we might know his will. He has given us a teacher that we might learn from, that we might obey his commandments and show our love for him and God the Father. And if we turn from our wicked ways and we live a life towards God, we will surely live. And all of those things that we've done, those evil things, those wicked things that we've done, are not counted against us. He rebukes and he chastens us. He disciplines us so that we might repent. So that we might live. Because he doesn't want us to die. He doesn't want the wicked to die. He wants them to repent. And that's the way we need to act towards our kids. That's the way we need to act towards our children. If we love them, we don't want them to die. We want to give them the things that they need so that they can live. I hope the things that we've talked about this morning have been a blessing to you. They've been a help to you. They've kind of given you a way that you should live towards your children. The way that you should act towards your children as fathers. Not just fathers, but parents. Mothers and fathers. We honor God the Father because he gives us all things. All the things that we need. Sometimes it's not pleasant, the things that we need, is it? And it's not pleasant sometimes when we give our kids the things that we need as far as discipline goes. But let's be there for our kids so that they can grow up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, so they can have those things that they need so that they might live. If there's anything that we can do for you, if there's a need that you have, if you like the prayers of the church, if you haven't allowed God to be your Father. We'd like to help you with that this morning. If you obey the gospel, be baptized for the remission of your sin. Have those sins wiped away so that they'll be remembered no more. Repent. Live a life towards God so that you might live. Come forward, please, as we stand and sing the invitation song.